Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur and host of the Chris Miles Money Show. Therefore, yours truly is talking right now. Hey, our whole focus is all about how to create more money, more freedom, better quality of life today, not hoping and praying that someday our life might be better. It's all about how to have more true cash flow, more freedom right now. So I'm really excited today because I'll tell you, our guest that we have here is a special treat. You know, like I always say, whenever I bring somebody on this show, I do not like posers. I don't like people that are just, they talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And I'll tell you, this person not only is not a poser, although she's beautiful, she's not a poser. But I'll tell you this, is that she is somebody that coaches me. This is somebody that I've vetted, I've gone through and looked at many, many different coaches. And this is the one that I chose for me because I knew that she is the real deal. There's no faking it. She is the person you should be listening to right now. And so the person I'm bringing on here is Kim Flynn. Now, Kim Flynn is obviously the owner of Kim Flynn Consulting. I'll tell you, one thing that's amazed me about her is that she's not only does she have a very successful consulting business, especially for women in business, and even a few brave men like myself, who's some people might argue that I'm not so much a man, but you know, we'll go with that. But I'll tell you that she is, she's amazing at the fact that she's a best-selling author, she's a speaker, she's a workshop leader. She's also started several other businesses that she's turned around and sold. So she's been there, done that, and she's still doing it today. And if you ever have someone that has a mentor, that is the big thing you want to find, is that you want to have someone who's not just trying to go through it, or they talk a good game, but they've never done it before. She's someone who's not only just done it before, which is impressive in and of itself, but she's someone that wasn't a has-been. She is someone who is today truly living these principles of prosperity that we teach on this show every time you listen to us. And so I'll tell you, Kim is amazing. She's incredible. And I want her to be able to share that real business expertise with each of you today and give you the biggest reasons of how, especially if you're a woman in business, why is it that women don't succeed as much as they should? And then secondly, how can you really make this happen? And if there's anybody who can tell you how to do that, how to have the right systems in place, it's Kim Flynn. So Kim, welcome to our show.
Chris, thanks so much for having me. I was cracking up. That's been the most funny, I think, introduction I've ever had.
Welcome. It's pretty good because when I'm on radio, I'm not that funny sometimes.
So I'm not a poser. And you are so much a man. Whatever, Chris. You're so much a man. So I have to tell Chris, I just purchased a new lodge in Park City. And out of all the people that could have come, Chris showed up and like hauled furniture up the stairs a million times over. So Chris, you are the only man that was there that day. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. So Kim, let's just get started. I want to hear more about you. So how did you get started in your first business? Like what got you started out?
Yeah, so story mode here, Chris. So I was 23 years old. I was a school teacher. I taught English at school, junior high, and I decided I wanted to start my first business. And I had my first baby. This was 14, 15 years ago. And I had a really good baby. She's still good to this day. She's just dream child. And I thought, you know what? I'm bored out of my mind. Parenting is wonderful, but there's got to be more. And I need to be doing more. I've got one of those busy personalities that most people listening to this call probably have as well. So I was like, oh, I got to do more. So I started a business out of my home. It was a tutoring business. And I was just on fire with that business. I was in my early, mid, late 20s at this point, and I was growing that business, and I grew that business actually to employ about 30 people, and I had a business, or had my office, so I didn't even go into my own office. I systematized it and structured it, so it just ran on its own, and I was loving this business, and my big goal at the time was to grow this business outside of my state. I thought, you know what, if I can grow the next chapter out of my state, this is how funny it is, I was like, if I can get into Idaho, I have hit the big time if I go into Idaho, because I'm in Utah. So I thought, I will have hit the big time. So I really pushed, and I was going to grow, and I was telling everyone, I'm going to retire the husband, I want to grow this all over the country, I want it to be a nationally recognized name, I want to help thousands and thousands and thousands of children learn how to read, and I really wanted to help them a lot. And then I had the misfortune, actually, of listening to a life coach of all people. Now, I know there are many great life coaches out there, and I've worked with really good life coaches, but this life coach was total crap. So this life coach came over to my house, and again, I'm in my mid to late 20s at this point. She sat me down in my living room, and I will forever remember this day. She sat me down, and she said, Kim, you're out of alignment. And she went on to tell me that God gave me the role of being the mother in the home, and I should not be out working. I should not have ambition. And she told me that the phrase that actually my branding is based on, she said, Kim, mothers can't do big things. And I was like, wow, maybe I'm wrong. And because I was in my 20s and I didn't really know myself that well yet, I decided I must be wrong. And so I decided to play small at that point. So this looked like no longer telling people I wanted to grow into a national business. This sounded like me saying, well, this is just a hobby business. I just play with this business with my left toe. And I started having that kind of language. And so whenever I hear women especially say it's a hobby business, I know the space you're in. And I know the space is not in integrity, actually. I know it's a space of denying what you actually are born to do. And so I played in that space for many years, was able to, because I'd already grown the business large-ish, I was able to just systematize it, automate it, and only work a few hours a week. But because that calling that keeps coming to you, if you try to squish it down, if you were born to do business, it'll keep coming out again and again. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how many times you try to squish it down, push it down, it'll still come out again and again and again. And for me, that came out like another business, and I opened another business and another business. And so I ended up having 5 different businesses because I couldn't grow them bigger because that was against my rules that I'd given myself, you know. But I just opened business after business after business. So finally, and I think it was 2010-ish, I sold them all off and gave myself permission once and for all that I am just going to go for this. And if I'm wrong, if I'm bad, I'm just going to have to risk that. I'm going to have to be a woman with ambition, and let's see what happens. And for anyone listening who is in that challenge, who thinks, oh, it'll corrupt me. If I make a lot of money, I'll become a bad person. If I'm too successful, I will fail at my family. I want to tell you that is not true. If you have a good heart, you will still have a good heart when you're successful. You won't fundamentally change. That's been my experience anyway. So people who are afraid to do big things because it will corrupt you, please let go of that fear. Let go, let go. Do some real study. If you're a Christian person, if you want to study the Bible and see what God really does teach about money, it's not that it's bad and evil. So that's my little 2 cents there, Chris.
No, I love it. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly there, but that's great. So definitely. I mean, I know you're really passionate about helping women grow in their businesses, which also leads to more money. but yeah, I mean, I can definitely tell you're really passionate about helping women because it sounds like it's really hit heart to the matter for you because it's you were that woman. It sounded like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see this woman all the time. She comes to my retreats all the time. And she says, I'm a mother. Am I really allowed to do that? Can I do that? And then she also says, I'm a woman. Will I step on men's toes if I do that? And my answer is, who cares about the men? Let's go for this. And if you are a man, who cares? Let's grow to your potential. Let's really do what God put you on earth to do. Forget all the mold that society tries to put you in. Let's do what you were born to do. And if you feel that burn to do business inside of you, that's what you were born to do.
Oh, I love it. Now, that kind of brings up the next point, too, because I know that until I met you, I really didn't see a whole lot of difference between what a woman and a man should do. And maybe that's where we see eye to eye in a lot of ways. But, you know, what does make a woman in business different than a man?
Yeah, so women have been blessed with the opportunity of centuries of, societal images and roles given to us throughout the years. And unfortunately, that does play a role on how we play in business. Yeah. That permission piece is very much there. So let me just share some numbers with you just to show you how that societal programming is showing up in our businesses. So the $100,000 mark, revenue mark in business, only 12% of women reach that mark, while 24% of men reach that mark, so double. The $500,000 mark in business, again, this is gross revenue, 4% of women reach that goal, while 8% of men, so keeping with that double the amount of men make it there than women do. But watch what happens at the $1 million mark. 1.8% of women make that mark, while 6% of men, so over 300% more men, reach that million-dollar mark than women do. And there's some really well-researched reasons why women play smaller in business. And I want to make it very clear, it's not because women are less than, it's not because we don't have the fundamental skills. None of those things apply. The real research shows us that there's five pretty simple, basic things that women do differently than men that keep us playing smaller. Can I share those, Chris?
Please.
Okay, so the first one is we tend to stop between the $250,000 and $500,000 revenue mark in business. When we get there, we stop, and here's the reason why. At that point, usually you have about 6 to 9 employees between $250,000 and $500,000. And at the 6 to 9 employee mark, you can no longer manage the business on your own. You no longer can work in the business. You can't be a worker in your business. If you have 6 to 9 employees, you need to move into business owner role, which means that you're systematizing things, you're leading your group, you spend a lot of time in leadership and management. And a lot of times people don't know how to systematize a business and they don't get the training they need. And so systems are lacking. So that prevents us from moving past that $250 to $500 mark. So the advice I have for women at this point is learn systems, learn what those are, and learn how to implement them. And also be willing to move out of worker B role in your business and move into leadership role. And that's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay, because every time we grow, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. So that's number one. Good to move on to number two?
Go for it, yeah.
Number two is women are less likely to take out loans than men are. So if we build this beautiful business box, let's say you put a dollar in the box, you get $2 out, you put $2 in, you get $4 out. It's a beautiful thing, right? And women tend to just invest what they make in their business. And so they do that over and over and over again. And that's the slow way to grow. Whatever you make in business, you reinvest. And that's the slow path. Men like to do things a little bit differently. And we should actually follow them on this part. They would go to a bank at that point. They put the same dollar in that magic business box, get $2 out, $2 in, $4 out. The box works. The business model works. They test it first, and then you go to a bank, whether it's Bank of Mom and Dad, whether it's Bank of HELOC, whether it's credit cards, whether it's traditional business loan. I really don't care. I just want you to get money. So once you have, let's say, $20,000, you put that into that business box, and out comes $40,000. $40,000 in, then we have $80,000. We can easily pay back the bank, and then we have some real momentum. We can really grow our business. So growing a business, I know Chris talks about this all the time, and I hope everyone listens to Chris when he says this. You will need to borrow money. Not borrowing money is not very smart as a business owner. Now, if you're a consumer, different rules apply. But as a business owner, you need to borrow other people's money. So that's number two.
Awesome. Loving it.
Okay. Number three. Product versus service business. Women are more likely to go into a service-based business rather than a product-based business. So let's say I want to teach piano lessons. It's really easy to get started up in a service-based business. I pass out, $10 of Kinko's, worksheets or whatever, like flyers that I've printed off. Cost me about $10, and all of a sudden I have 3 new clients. That's really easy, and there's no startup capital there beyond the $10 for flyers. It's really easy to get started in a service-based business. But how do you scale that service-based business? It can be more difficult to scale a service-based business, and scale just means grow. So if I want to scale that service-based business, I can either hire more piano teachers underneath me. I can become a teacher and teach other people how to teach piano. There's different ways to do it, but it's a little bit more tricky versus what if I wanted to manufacture pianos themselves? First of all, it would require a lot of startup capital, and that's the big hurdle that women usually don't jump through. They have to find that capital. They have to find that money. Then we can manufacture these pianos, and I can sell these pianos all around the globe, and there's no limit. The business is infinitely scalable when I have a product-based business. And so there's the difference there. When we go into a service-based business, and I love service-based businesses, I've always had them, please keep in mind that you are limiting yourself if you are the traditional, I will provide the service myself to the customer directly. That's a very limited model. So I want you to expand that model and think, how else can I make this company grow bigger? The fourth one is women tend to not have business partners. And if I'm going to go into business, let's say I have $10,000 to give the business, I have 20 hours a week, and I have a skill set of marketing and leadership. That's what I bring to the company. If I were to find a business partner who had 40 hours to give to the business, had $5,000 to bring to the company, and had a skill set of finance and customer service, all of a sudden we've doubled our skill set, we've doubled our hours, and we've increased our initial money investment. We are so much better off when we bring business partners to the table for those three reasons. Women are less likely to do this. In my opinion, this piece is not researched right here, but I think the reason why women are less likely to have business partners is this. I have a friend who is a very successful business owner and entrepreneur, and he started a national restaurant franchise, and you would recognize the name if I told you it. And he said he would go into a boardroom with his business partners, and they would be like throwing markers at each other and dropping the F-bomb, and then they'd, of course, leave the boardroom, and they would go out to play golf. And I just think, as a woman, when's the last time someone like threw a marker at me and dropped an F-bomb, and then I – you know, went shopping with them? It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And so women do need to overcome some of this relationship stuff that we have. We always want to fix these relationships and make them so perfect. And sometimes in a business relationship, it's not going to be perfect. We have to be willing to treat this business relationship almost like a marriage, where we need to work through the kinks and understand there will be ups and downs. And one last plug for business partners: please do not go into business with your sister or your best friend or your mom. Because like I said about you, there will be times when there will be markers chucked and F-bombs dropped. And we don't want to ruin those family relationships. So please choose business partners not based on your bonding with them, but please choose business partners based on, do they have money to bring to the table? Do they have skill set to bring to the table? And do they have time to bring to the table? That's who you want to choose as a business partner.
Love it. No, I would agree with you on that one too. I think that's the emotional side of partnerships is the part that's the most challenging for women.
Very much so. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so last researched reason, this is the government's number one reason why women are not playing to the level that men are in business, and that is we do not have mentors. So an example of this, I was 12 years old, my brother was 10 years old, and we went to visit my uncle, and my uncle is an engineer. And my uncle took my brother under his wing and said, hey, come to work with me. Let's, you know, see how the engineering job works and how this company works, and let me mentor you. And lo and behold, you know, 10 years later, my brother is an engineer because he had a mentor who took me under their wing and said, hey, I want to spend time with you and mentor you. Women usually don't get that. And I don't think it's like, oh, bad men, you're not mentoring us. I don't think it's that conversation at all, because I think I would have been pretty uncomfortable at 12 years old hanging out with my uncle a lot, you know. My mom maybe would have too been uncomfortable for me as well. This is, you know, 2014 now, and a lot of shady stuff happened. So I don't think it's men's fault that they're not mentoring women. I get that it sometimes can be a little bit of an awkward dynamic there. I'm going to ask women to reach out to other women. If you see women who are two steps ahead of you in business, I want you to reach out to them. And women who are more successful in business, please, 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 open arms, please mentor the women that are coming up underneath you. And we need to form that mentorship network.
I love that. So if I recap here, so we got definitely leadership is something that they got to develop. And I know that's one big thing I've learned from you too, is just having that leadership ability and being able to grow the company the way it needs to. Using loans, being willing to use debt, is definitely a big one. And yeah, we've talked about that on this show for sure. Scaling the biz, definitely being able to scale it and making sure it can grow beyond that $250,000 or $500,000 point, right?
Yep.
Definitely having partners. It's a big one. Tying in with that leadership, and also just business acumen in general, and then having mentors, which I love that. I mean, there's got to be somebody you have as a role model that you want to become more like, and kind of ride their coattails and go that direction. And more importantly, not just have a mentor, but actually do what they say.
Yeah, that'd be useful too.
There's been from time to time, Kim's wondered, does Chris ever do what I actually ask him to do? Oh, goodness. I do. I just always question things. So, well, that's perfect. Well, I know we're kind of running a little bit short on time, but you know, what's your number one productivity tip? Like, what would really help people to become more productive in their business right now?
Number one productivity tip. It sounds so simple, but it's a habit, and it's going to be hard for you. But this is my challenge to everyone listening. Here's a challenge. This will dramatically change the way you do business. If you're not in a business, if you're not a business owner, this will dramatically change the way you do life. And it sounds so simple and so easy, and most of you will not do it. So for the 1-2% of you that will actually do this, here is my challenge for you. Before you go into email and before you go on Facebook, before you let other people dictate your day, you get your top three things done that day. That will usually take you until lunchtime to get those done. That's okay. The email will still be there. They'll still be answered. The Facebook will still be there. I challenge you to get your top three things done that day before you go into email, before you go into Facebook or whatever your drug of choice is. Usually it's email or Facebook. So, who's taking on the challenge? I wish I could hear from people. I am.
All right, we got lots of voices there. and then your follow-up to that is, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, Facebook messaged me when you did it, and it was like one person who says, yes, I did it. That's the funny thing about business. It's the principles are easy, but it's hard to follow, and that's where the mentor comes in. Having someone that holds you accountable to actually doing those things is really a critical piece.
That's so true. No, I think one of the biggest sticking points for people, too, is just not knowing what those three things are, not even having that direction, that clear vision of what they want. You know, they'll say, yeah, I'm committed to it, but okay, well, what do I want? I don't even know what three things I want. Maybe one, maybe two. I don't know. I know that, right?
Got it. Yep. That makes sense.
So, yeah, definitely know what you want and then actually go after it. And then you have the whole afternoon to go play around on Facebook and anything else. Right?
Yay. Can I give away some free stuff on this call, Chris? Is that okay?
Please. Yep. Okay.
So I want to give everyone 5 video e-course. So the first video talks about time maps, how to block out your schedule so you have time for your business in your busy life. We all have busy lives. The second one talks about the principles of alignment, how to fit business in with parenting and being, having a spouse if you do, and all the other pieces of your life there. And then after those, we get into actual core business training. I'm going to talk about a product funnel, packaging your product, things like that. And I'd love to give everyone this free 5-video e-course. Go to kimflynn.com and just enter your information there, and we'll pop that over to you. And that will get you started on some of the more fundamental core business training.
Awesome. That's a great gift. And guys, I've seen those videos. You want to take advantage of it. They're awesome. So now, Kim, what if they say, okay, great, videos are awesome, but I just want Kim. what would they need to do?
So everyone, people ask me this all the time. Kim, can I coach with you? What does it look like to coach with you? And I do have a year-long coaching program, but we need to make sure that we get each other first. We need to make sure that I am the fit for you, and I need to make sure that you're the fit for me. So the way we do that is we come together at retreats. We have retreats that are almost every single month. I just purchased this almost 12,000 square foot lodge in Park City, Utah, to host these retreats. I've been hosting them all over Salt Lake, and now we get to come together in just one place that's dedicated just for these retreats. People fly in from all across the country, even internationally, to come attend. It's about 25 people that attend at a time, so it's a very intimate, close setting, and we pretty much dismantle your entire business, lay it out all on the floor, and then build it back up into what's called the plug-and-play business system. It's an intense 3 days. It's not kumbaya and it's not paint your toenails. It is like we are working on your business. If you don't know exactly what you're doing, you will know by the time you leave. I usually work with people who have been in business for years, but I also work with newbies who really want to start out their business correctly the first time. So that's a business intensive retreat. And before you even think about doing that, why don't you start with the kimflynn.com. Download those 5 videos and see if I'm your vibe. See if you can take me, if you can handle me. Not everyone can.
You can't handle the Kim, right?
I push pretty hard and pretty fast. And so I work with the real rock stars, people who really want to grow and grow quickly.
Yes, you do. And you definitely get those results. I've seen it. That's great. So, Kim, I have one more question for you.
What's that?
So if you were to look back over this last year for you personally, what's probably the biggest lesson that you've learned for your own business?
Oh, man, put me on the spot here. Biggest lesson in the past year. I would say it actually is a financial lesson I learned, Chris. You'd appreciate this.
Cool.
I learned that I need to make decisions always keeping that revenue model in mind. So let me just share with you. Can I just share with you my big mistake, Chris?
Sure. That'd be great.
Okay. This is kind of embarrassing, but I'll share. So I scheduled my retreats for 2014, especially the beginning of 2014, based on snow. Not very smart. I thought, you know what? People are flying in from like Arizona and Las Vegas. They're always so cold when they get here if I have them come during the winter months. So what if I don't have any retreats in November, December, January, February until the end of March? I have no retreats for 5 months. Won't that be smart? And then I get my money, obviously, based on retreats. And that's where my income in the business comes from. So I had no income, Chris, for 5 months. Isn't that fun?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I was like, what was I thinking? If I had revenue modeled that and stuck with the monthly revenue model, I wouldn't have made that not very intelligent choice. So the beginning of 2014 was a lot of fun with no income for 5 months.
The amazing thing is, like, you still are surpassing last year's too. So I love seeing that as well.
Yeah, we're doubling almost every single year. We're doubling revenue, which is lots of fun, but it's a wild ride too.
That's right. Yeah, you definitely see a lot of ups and downs if you don't have a monthly revenue model in mind or in play, huh?
Yeah.
I love that. I think there's a lot of lessons for a lot of people in that, because no matter what level you're playing at in your business, you always have to be focusing again. I mean, we talk about this a lot. It's like, it's not just about the money, but it is. Still, like, if you want your business to grow and expand and increase that stewardship, you've got to be able to increase and grow that revenue too. And if that's not there and that's not consistent, you don't show up, you don't play big, you don't play bold, you don't show up powerfully in the way that you know you could, especially when you're worrying about money. You're worried about that instead of worrying about really focusing on serving people and making a massive impact in the world.
Yeah, there's no way to do big things without money. Mother Teresa actually got a lot of flack when she was pushing for that Nobel Peace Prize, because she wanted the cash payout. She wanted the $1 million that she would get at the end of that, not because she wanted to, you know, retire on a yacht in Bermuda, which $1 million wouldn't.
She wanted a new dress.
But she wanted to do big things. She wanted to help people. So you cannot do big things without money. We live on planet Earth. You will need money to have impact.
That's right. Oh, so true. Kim, I'm so appreciative you share that, especially because I put you on the spot. That was awesome. I know a lot of listeners got a huge amount of value from that.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me, Chris. It's been a lot of fun.
You bet. Yeah, thanks so much for being on. So everybody, hey, appreciate you guys being on the show. Man, don't just take this advice and say that was great stuff. I mean, I want you to take this and apply it, because when you apply it, results happen in your life. And when that happens, you create that ripple effect, and that's ultimately what I'm about. That's why I'm doing this show for you guys, ultimately for free. So I want you guys to be able to take something, create a ripple effect, and really make a big difference and impact in your own circle of influence as well as the rest of the world. So go out, make it an abundant week, and have a great, great time. We'll see you next time.